Hello everyone and welcome back to the first guest podcast of 2020. Feels weird to say 2020, is it? I kept saying 2019 in last videos. So in today's episode, we're gonna talk about the master thesis of Sylee. I was there for her final presentation in front of the jury and I was really impressed by all the work she put in her thesis, because we were in Milan back in the day, I was in Berlin that time, but she did a lot of research in India in the context of organ donation, and she worked with lot of NGOs. Yeah. She did a good groundwork, solid groundwork, where she went and talked to a lot of doctors and all. And it's a very interesting topic, though organ donation is not like topic which we talked about much in India. That's why this episode will be very fun, because she will give us some amazing facts and things about organ donation and the whole design aspect. And she's going to introduce herself and then we go into our today's topic. So tell
Hello
us about
everyone.
It.
I'm Sylee. Currently, I'm working as a service designer here in Milan.
Mm-hmm.
I did my master's in product service system design from Politecnico di Milano.
Just like me.
Fun fact, I'm not actually a designer.
Yeah.
By my studies, I studied 6 years of engineering, that also mechanical engineering. So it was a big shift from very technical part of education to very philosophical part of education.
Yeah.
But I'm here.
Great. So she also has the mechanical engineering background just like me, but she was a way better engineer than me. And she used to go for Baja and everything. She was also in COEP, one of the renowned, respectable universities, deemed universities of India. So super happy to have you finally. We were talking a lot about this episode and it's also her first time on any of the podcasts.
Not exactly. I featured a little bit in the videos.
Yeah, in the videos.
In Paris, for the Paris
podcast. Shit. And you were there also in the Cologne video.
Yeah.
And where I talked about, because of her and other friends, I started making videos. So the first video of YouTube, she was present there, like historic moment. At the same time, my first video ever on the channel is the one where I'm doing stuff in Darsena,
mm-hmm.
playing on the street. And you are also there in that video for one shot. Crazy. And
I was handling your Facebook Live.
Yes. And speaking of that, that's the most viewed video on my channel till now.
Yay.
And unfortunately, it's not made by me. I'm performing in that, but it's not the video made by me.
Hi, I'm Suyog, also known as the Fun Indian Guy. I'm a designer, musician, filmmaker, and a mechanical engineer. I'm from India, and currently I'm chilling around, traveling around, working around, roaming around, having fun around Europe, and this is my podcast.
The Fun Indian Guy Podcast.
Okay, so my thesis in general was about how organ donation system work,
mm-hmm.
in India, especially in Maharashtra, where I come from.
Yeah.
And I was working with an NGO called Disha Education,
mm-hmm.
Foundation. And at first I started talking with them because they were mostly working for blind people,
mm-hmm.
Working with and for blind people.
Nice.
So I started talking to them about a navigation system for blind as part of my thesis.
Navigation,
then,
as in going around,
yeah.
as a blind person.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like a wearable or something.
Yeah.
So coming up with a service for them with partnership of the NGO.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, it didn't work out because most of the blind people in India don't own a smartphones,
right.
or don't have enough money,
mm-hmm.
to invest in tech. So we didn't work on it, but then the director of the NGO, he was like, we are starting to work on organ donation and eye donation now. So in case you have some proposal for any research that we can utilize as part of our service, it would be really useful.
Nice.
So we talked about it a little more, and then we came up that I should research about what makes people go and pledge their organs for organ donation.
Yeah.
So that's what I did. Like,
before you go into organ donation, I'm really sorry to disturb you. The question I would like to ask you, because you were talking about there was a possibility that you would work on blind people,
mm-hmm.
and develop something wearable tech or something which has to do with interfaces and everything. Why did you specifically choose to go and research in the sector which is in India, instead of doing something from Milan where you could have just took it a step ahead, saying people can afford here and develop something super high tech?
So the main why I came for service design in Milan was like I was introduced to this topic of service design and design, human-centered design.
Mm-hmm.
And I always thought that this is something that one can utilize for social innovation,
right,
in a way. So even when I was in university, most of the projects that I was working on were for social innovation. For
right.
example, the project that we did about postpartum depression,
mm-hmm.
that was part of it. Then I did one more project for navigation for blind people. That was the project I wanted to work with the NGO for Indian blind population.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I always wanted to work in this sector, and then I was introduced to social innovation in public sector. So
yeah.
it was even more interesting for me. So I wanted to do something like this, and yeah.
Yeah. So as I said before, a lot of times on my podcast, that our university has put a lot of efforts and a lot of resources in social innovation, and luckily we have got really good bunch of professors who
yeah, yeah.
direct us and show us a lot of case studies and the way you can utilize your design knowledge and all the knowledge you acquired for some social cause. And that is very interesting, and I always talk about it because it really makes me very excited about possibilities. Speaking of that, let's go back to then you started talking to the Disha Foundation.
Yeah. So we started talking about what I can do, and we framed a general timeline
mm-hmm.
of the project, and then I was looking for professors. As you said, we have very amazing professors in our university, and since I was working for kind of social innovation in public sector, kind of health sector, I went for Daniela Sanjorgi
mm-hmm.
because she's like the one person you look after for
yeah.
healthcare projects. So I went to her, and thankfully she was also interested
mm-hmm.
because she never worked with a student for India as such. She always worked for European countries. So yeah, we kick off from there. I went back to India for almost 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
There I did the field research. So I talked with people who are working in the NGOs, then the volunteers, people who received organs because their original organs failed, or people who donated their living organs to someone from their close family. I talked with all of them to understand what are their motivations and why wouldn't people pledge organs, why would people pledge organs, to try to understand that what are the simulating factors.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also studied various case studies from various countries, because
right.
you don't just, like, you learn from best in the market to come up with something better. So I studied all of them as well. And yeah, in that way I concluded my research. So yeah, sorry, even in my research there were two parts.
Yeah.
So the first part was most of quantitative research.
Mm-hmm.
So in this part you usually take surveys and everything. So I partnered with few local doctors
mm-hmm.
and I gave them a small slip with 4 questions, and I asked them that whenever a patient comes to you, just ask these 4 questions in the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So since these questions are coming from the doctors, people are more truthful about the answers
yeah.
rather than me going and asking.
And also more willing to answer.
Exactly.
In first
yeah.
place.
So yeah, I took all that research, and then I went in field to ask the same questions, just to, like, the first part was to know what I should be asking about. The second part was utilizing all the information collected in the first part and
mm-hmm.
then taking specific answers.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in that way, I concluded my research part, user research part.
Can you give us a couple of examples of what kind of questions were these?
Mainly it was that, are you an organ donor?
Mm-hmm.
If so, when did you donate? Did someone from your family ever pledge their organs or donated
yeah.
their organs? So during this questionnaire, we found out that if someone from your family has already pledged or donated the organs, you are more likely to be pledging,
yeah.
if not already pledged.
Right.
So yeah, the family factor.
Mm-hmm.
These were the questions.
So I, to add to that before going ahead, I would like to know like a basic timeline of how organ donation works. So for example, I go, I pledge, and then how is the basic
yeah.
standard flow?
So
in
currently
India?
In India, what happens is you have to go to a website of an NGO or any awareness campaigns by the NGOs. You have to go there, fill up a form, sign it, and that's how you pledge your organs. In case of your unfortunate home death, so in case of your home death, you have to call the NGO that certain person has died, and you can now come and retrieve their organs, whatever they can. In this case, you can only donate your eyes
mm-hmm.
and tissues. So the NGO team will come to your house and retrieve your eyes and tissues and go. In case of your hospital death, if the hospital staff already know
mm-hmm.
that you are an organ pledger or organ donor in a way, they would talk to your family, take their consent. And if your family says yes, only if they say yes, they would start the process of organ retrieval.
Mm-hmm.
Many a times in India, the family says no. That is because, like, in minds of your family members, it's like, let him rest in peace. I don't want to, like, he's died already. Why would I have to open him up now
mm-hmm.
and take something that he can take to heaven?
Right.
Even, like, many people have this misconception that if you don't have your whole body when you're dead, you cannot go to heaven. So,
a lot of cultural and all the stigma
and
around it.
In India, since there are so many religions, every religion has their own misconception.
Different
so getting those people on board is times that hard.
Right. So as I understand, is like if I pledge my organ, is the awareness in the family which is important, because
mm-hmm.
once I'm not here, they have to take the process ahead.
So
that's the second
half.
So
this was also one of the outcome of my research. That once you pledge your organs, the very important part is letting your family know.
Right.
Not just about the initiative itself, like organ donation in general, but also that I want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So in case I'm dead, you are the one responsible to say yes to it.
Yeah. So the taking the oath and donating is the first part, but second part is actually
the most important part
is
getting your family on board as well.
Right.
Yeah.
So as I think about it, from my perspective or from my context where I come from, the organ donation awareness is not so much
mm-hmm.
around where I come from or in general in India, I suppose. Like blood donation, like every time there is a blood donation run and a lot of people are going and donating blood, and there is like instant reward, like you can see the blood going and everything,
mm-hmm.
you are still alive
yeah.
to do that. But organ donation is not one of the things which are, let's say, popular or very aware.
Organ donation is usually linked to death.
Right.
And in general, I don't take it just as India, but in general, talking about death anywhere is not as pleasant.
Yeah, that's true.
So whenever we talk about anything that relates to death, we get uncomfortable and we try to end the topic right then and there.
Right.
So one of the important discussions that everyone in the family should be having is about death.
Right. Yeah, yeah, that's true, that's true. The way we look at death is very different,
like,
from cultural backgrounds.
It's
yes.
very easy, like if we are dead, we are gonna be cremated for sure.
Right.
But for Christians, let's say, they have an option of being cremated or buried.
Yeah.
So in case their family doesn't know what they want.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So there are a lot of doubts around
unanswered
the whole thing.
Questions.
Yes. Which we should bring awareness about.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just like so recently I lost my grandpa, which was very sad. So after his death, then the next questions after some days of condolences and everything pops up is like, what do you do with his clothes? What do you do with his things? And like,
you know, in UK they have this very good exercise.
Yeah.
I don't exactly remember the name of the day, but they celebrate this particular day on which all the family members get around the dinner table.
Yeah.
And they discuss about their deaths. For example, what I want to happen with my belongings after my death, you just sit there and discuss so everyone in your family knows what you want.
Yeah, that's a very nice way to do it, right? Because if it's subjected positively and addressed positively, everybody will tend to talk about it. And if they know there are options which are very, very much noble.
Mm-hmm.
For example, we always donate clothes which we don't need. So why not donating an organ? But it should be that simple to think about.
Yeah.
To do that.
Make it that normal.
Yes. But so what all exercises did you do around the topic then?
Okay. So as I said,
mm-hmm.
so after the whole research, we did a small workshop kind
mm-hmm.
of with 10 people to come up with a futuristic organ donation system.
Nice.
So in my thesis, I had two concepts. One was the futuristic one and one was the realistic one that I
can
implement right now.
Right.
So during the workshop, we came up with these two concepts. The workshop was like of 10 people and from different backgrounds. So one was the youngest policymaker, for example, one was service designer, one was software engineer, since we need that expertise as well. And then we mapped, again, it's a service design terminology, you know? So we mapped the whole journey.
Yeah.
And we didn't just map the journey, but we mapped the worst kind of experiences you can get through the whole organization journey and the best kind of experiences
right.
you can get. And after, at end of the workshop, we came up with the one best journey for present and for future.
Right.
So, should I talk about both the concepts?
Yeah, give us the idea so people will know.
So for the futuristic concept, we came up with this electronic health cards.
Mm-hmm.
Like the health cards we have in Europe, it's especially for just insurance. But in our concept, it was also as electronic medical records. So when you go to any hospital in case of emergency or even for a usual appointment, they would just check this card to see what in past what medical history you had,
mm-hmm.
what kind of medications you've been taking, what are you allergic to, for example, if you had any surgeries on any particular part of your body. So yeah,
just like holistic Medicare.
They would have like one stop solution in
right.
a way to know everything about you in a medical aspect. And it would also have a dedicated space where it would be, it would say that I am an
organ
donor
or
I am not an organ donor.
Right.
So the staff would know right away by just looking at it that should they be initiating the discussion that you already said that you would be a donor, and if the family would like to, or they have to initiate the discussion from the very start that what is organ donation and why should they be doing it. So we came this was one of the most important part.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other part was how you go and pledge your organs.
Right.
Because as I said, right now what you have to do is you have to yourself go to an NGO website where you can pledge your organs, or even on the Government of India's website, you can pledge that. But in this case, this is initiated by myself.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm motivated enough to do it, I would do it. But if I don't know or I don't care, there's no way that I would know about this initiative. So in this new concept, what we were thinking was when, if for the realistic one, like as I said, there were two concepts, futuristic
right.
one and the realistic one. For the realistic one, we were thinking of what kind of documentation one would have at all time with them, and which they have to renew like after some tenure. And that was the driver's license. It can also be an Aadhaar card, but we thought of driver's license because that is more universally accepted in a way.
Mm-hmm.
So when you go to application or renewal of your driver's license, you would have a section on your driver license application form where it would ask if you would like to be an organ donor. And they would also provide you enough information like pamphlets, leaflets.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go while giving away the application form to the person, you can ask that person if you have any questions.
Mm-hmm.
So in this way, we would be nudging people in a positive way to go and donate, like to pledge their organs. This was one aspect. And then when you receive this card, like I think the driver's license you receive after 2 weeks or something
mm-hmm.
in India. So when you receive this card by post, you will have this small sticker
mm-hmm.
on your driver's license where it would say, I am an organ donor. So whenever something happens to you, they ask for official documentation, which in India usually is a driver's license or an Aadhaar card.
Mm-hmm.
So in case they see the Aadhaar card, they would know right away that you're a donor. And when you receive the card, you also receive a few more leaflets. These leaflets would be about that why discussing this with your family is important. So that would be one more touch point where the person will know the importance of this discussion, and it will also give you cues.
Right.
Like for example, I'm sitting on dinner and I just say that I got my driver's license today,
mm-hmm.
and it says that I'm an organ donor,
mm-hmm.
and then
the conversation
explain
begins.
Why you
yeah.
want to become an organ donor, why you think it's a good thing to do.
Yeah.
So your family knows your wishes, they
right.
also know your thoughts behind it. So in worst case, if anything happens to you, they already know what they should be doing.
But why there is a second layer of family taking decision? If I donate the organ, why do you need again the permission of the family to take the organ instead of just family telling, oh, he's a donor, so take the organ? Like, why do you need an extra layer of permission?
For organ donations, there are four kind of policies that governments have. One is opt-out policy,
mm-hmm.
in which, in case, like, the default is I am an organ donor. If
mm-hmm.
I don't want to be an organ donor, then I have to register.
Yeah.
That I don't want
opt
to be.
Opt-out, right.
And then, even in this opt-out and opt-in, there are two. So, soft opt-out is that I say I don't want to become, but still, my family has the last say.
Mm-hmm.
If I die, my family is asked that I didn't want to become, but do you wish to donate their organs? If they say yes, either way, my organs are gonna be donated. Then there is hard opt-out, in which if I say no, it's a no.
Yeah.
The same is opt-in, soft opt-in and soft opt-out. So in India, it's soft opt-in.
Okay.
So as I said, I can pledge my organs, but the last say is of my family.
Okay.
So if they say no, then it's
so
a
that's
no.
the policy. That's we can't do much
yeah.
about it.
Yeah.
My next question to you would be, so basically which of the organs are more easy to donate, like which is the easiest process? So I know this is going too much into technicality and you are not from the medical background or anything, but being a service designer, you have studied it very well and you know a lot of stakeholders and various perspectives. And for the listeners also who are not designers, it would be amazing to know which are the organs you can easily donate and not with lot of complications. Also the time after death, how much like.
So the easiest organs to donate are your eyes
mm-hmm.
and tissues.
Okay.
Because even after death, you don't have to be put on like clinical instruments to keep your heart beating.
So
as I said, eyes and tissues are the easiest one, and they can be retrieved from home as well.
Okay.
So it doesn't have to be in hospital death, it can be home death as well.
Okay. Yeah,
the like the hardest ones obviously are heart
yeah.
and I think lungs.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
No, that's okay.
But
I
would say the difficult one is the heart.
Yeah. And how does the whole Indian organ donation scene look like in numbers, or like are we good, are we bad, are we aware?
Every year almost 3 lakh people die waiting for organs. So
waiting
I wouldn't
for organs.
Waiting for organs. So I wouldn't say it's very good.
Yeah.
But thankfully it's not that bad as well.
Yeah.
So the best one is Spain.
Mm-hmm.
Because Spain has, as I said, opt-out system.
Yeah.
So everyone there is a default
officially
organ donor.
Locked in, yeah.
And they have very good national organ donation organization.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like one organization which governs everything that's happening in the whole country.
Yeah.
So for example, if a patient, let's say about India, if a patient in the district of Amravati has died and his heart can be retrieved, and there is this patient in Mumbai
who needs
a heart, so they would call this organization and they will then organize everything to transport that heart from Amravati to Mumbai,
right?
Which is a very hard task because it has to be done within 6 hour time
yeah.
frame, otherwise it cannot be used.
So Spain is doing a good job because they have a central system which is kind of
governing everything.
Yeah, that's a nice way to do it. So as a designer, as a responsible designer, let's say, what would you suggest or recommend to change the scene? I'm not saying to go and just bring new system and new policies, but from our perspective, awareness perspective, how we can change it.
See, it's not like it is a problem of awareness, but it is not as bad as few years back.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't say it. We have to work very specially only on awareness.
Mm-hmm.
I would say we have to work on the onboarding process of the people. As I said, at the moment, it is done by self-motivation.
Mm-hmm.
If government takes an action or it includes this organ donation aspect to any of the required documentation, it would be like every person has to go through this and every person would be asked this question at some period of time in life. It would be a really good start,
right?
Because in that way, even if I'm not becoming an organ donor, I would know that something like this exists and I can be part of it.
Yeah.
So I think the most basic one that I would say is
onboarding
process.
Onboarding. And how do you see the behavior of people in terms of onboarding?
Okay, so one of the very famous part of redesigning the organ donation system is the nudge theory.
Mm-hmm.
It was introduced by two scientists from UK, and it is about behavioral economics,
mm-hmm.
so behavioral science. And behavioral science is like making someone take informed decision at right moment of right time and at right place.
Right.
So for example, there has been a lot of research going on about this, and in UK they did this small experiment in which they changed how a particular message is displayed on the same website,
mm-hmm.
and how that message changed the number of organ pledges,
yeah.
for example.
Nice.
So they tried a message with just a picture,
mm-hmm.
for example, just an illustration. Then they changed it to a picture of people who are dying,
mm-hmm.
because of waiting for organs. Then they changed it to text and a picture,
mm-hmm.
text and an illustration.
Mm-hmm.
And then even in text, they changed the type of text they have been displaying.
Mm-hmm.
For example, in one text, they would be saying that this many people are dying because they don't have the organs they need to survive. In other message, they would say that globally this
yeah.
is happening.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, like even the way that message is displayed affects the decision making.
Yeah.
And this was not just in the UK, but they did the same thing in Australia as well,
mm-hmm.
for their driver's license website.
Yeah.
And then in Canada, they tried something else. In Canada, it was about the onboarding process.
Okay.
So how people come to this question was what they were designing for. So
nice.
As I said, it was when you go to apply for your car's tax and
mm-hmm.
driver's license, that's when they are asked about this question, if you want to become an organ donor.
Yeah.
And there, they also did an experiment. It was that how this message is displayed on the application form, if it is asking for them if they want to become an organ donor, or if it is like if you don't want to become an organ donor, and if it is with the supporting materials,
yeah.
print media with it to answer their questions. So yeah.
Like
behavioral science is one of the, like,
yeah.
I was so fascinated by behavioral science after this whole thesis that I started reading a lot more about it, and it became more and more interesting.
Yeah, even listening to it is very interesting, because basically we are taking the concepts which are usually used in
mm-hmm.
high-tech solutions. For example, even Facebook and Instagram, you do A/B testing of different buttons, and then you do data-driven,
mm-hmm.
like you see this button perform this good and this kind of messaging perform this good, and then you take data-driven decisions instead of just going for gut feelings. Like
yeah.
you design with gut feelings, but you then check it with
KPIs.
Data. Yes, KPIs. Key performing index. So I really like this part, because as I said, she's not from medical background. She's like also me. We have engineering background, then we studied design, and now we are able to take all our skill sets and play around with various issues. And in this case, the organ donation in India is one of the issues.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives, like, it empowers you to work on such projects. It
also gives you a good feeling that you're doing something good
yeah.
somewhere.
Yeah.
Maybe it wouldn't be implemented as big as I thought it would be.
Yeah.
But still, I started something and I did something even small.
Yeah. No, but doing it in the
yeah.
first place is
very important
beginning.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's why I really liked your project in the first place when you presented. Like, it's very social aware, that's not a word. It's socially aware project.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoyed your presentation. I saw all the work you did. And I think you guys can also see the thesis somewhere
yeah.
in the link down
it's,
below. Maybe.
I think it's only downloadable for Polymy students.
Ah, okay.
Because,
yeah.
you need credentials for it.
Yeah, but aren't you allowed to upload it somewhere else where people can access it in some way? Or you don't want
it?
It's your decision. Research,
I am allowed
right?
to.
yeah,
I can do that.
Yeah. So if she does in a couple of days, you will have the link below where you can see her work, or at least presentation or something where you...
Yeah.
Yeah. At the same time, you can also see her work on her own website. Not only this project, other projects.
So my website is www.sailibharambe.com.
Yeah, I'll also link it down below so you can easily go there. And I would also like to tell them your Instagram handles.
Okay, so I have two Instagram handles. I sketch a lot as a hobby. So one is CodesKida, which is Codes Bug in a way, literal translation. And the other one is Saili006.
Okay, both the links will be down below for sure. It's very interesting. So many things you are doing these days, and it's very interesting to see that. Organ donation was one of the topics I really wanted to touch on the podcast after listening to your presentation, because one of the things which it's important to talk about, and this is just the beginning. And now I'm eager to go back to India and understand the process there, and also pledge for maybe something like eyes or something. But that I'll look into. Have you donated your organs?
Yeah, I have.
Nice.
I actually already donated them before I started working on the thesis, because I always thought that.
Yeah, and did you try to talk to your family about it?
They all also donated their pledged their organs.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Amazing. Good job. I'll talk.
And don't forget to pledge your organs in any NGOs around you, or even you can do it on Ministry of Health's website of India.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Cool. Very interesting. Very interesting topic. Anything else you would like to add in terms of anything? Yeah, like, because we discussed in depth her thesis topic, but there are other aspects also. So, nothing much.
I don't think so.
Cool. So, when we were planning to make this podcast today, when I was just setting up the camera, she was very conscious about the
obviously,
whole podcasting.
Obviously, this is the first time I'm doing something like this.
Yeah.
So.
But then we sat down and just start talking, and then it's normal. Also, in this podcast, you must be listening to a lot of tram noises because we are sitting right next to the window. And also, it's sunset, so our faces are super dark in the video now. But I don't care. The conversation is very important. It's not something cinematic for a person. Like, other videos are beautiful. You watch them for your eye treat. Not this one. This one is more for knowledge and awareness. That being said, thank you so much for people to listen to this podcast or to see us on YouTube for so long. That really means a lot. And thank you, Saili, for coming on the podcast.
It was my pleasure.
Once again, I'm in her place. It's like I'm taking my small studio everywhere and doing which is quite interesting.
Yeah,
but
you have new studio every time.
Yes. Thank you so much for that. And that's all, people. Keep having fun. Don't forget to have fun. That's very important. Very super duper amazing tagline of this channel. And 2020 is amazing. We will be doing a lot of things, and I wish you all the success in your life.
Ciao.
That being said, ciao, ciao. Thank you.
The Fun Indian Guy Podcast.